Hey, Starting Nine listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
234.
Is that how many home runs the Oakland A's have hit?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on with your team? Like, normally I'd be like, all right, let's keep it moving. No one cares about the A's, but I suppose they are a big story. First and foremost, check out the Starting Nine YouTube page. Helps us out a ton if you guys go over there and subscribe to that channel. So please do that right now. We're not going to continue the podcast until you do. I'm going to give you a second to pull out your phone, or if you're on your laptop listening, go over to the Starting Nine YouTube page, hit the subscribe button, check that shit out. It'll be well worth your time if you're a baseball fan and you're a fan of the program.
It will help me feed my children.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got multiple kids now.
Starving children. The Red Sox are playing a little bit better baseball. We don't have to worry about feeding the kids in Boston as of yet right now.
The Red Sox have the best record in the league. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said as of right now. It's okay now. It's all right now. We know last year, those fucking kids in Boston emaciated.
Yeah. Well, last year didn't count. Everyone knows that was a fake season. This year's a real season. Red Sox have the best record. But the Oakland A's. Teams are just, like, handing them wins at this point. Like, well, no one – it's not even that, like, the A's are beating teams. It just feels to me like teams don't want to beat the A's. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever. If you want to win, you can have it.
Well, that was – like if you want to talk about the walk-off that just happened yesterday, as you're listening to this, this is Thursday. The A's played the Twins on the final game of the series on Wednesday after a doubleheader. Yesterday's game ended strictly because of injuries that the Minnesota Twins have either sustained or are dealing with. You get into extra innings, runner starts at second base. You want to know who that runner was going to be? That runner was going to be Josh Donaldson, who at this point in time, I love him to death, but he knows, and I've said it to his face, you need a fucking homer to score him from anywhere other than third base. All right? Like, just that's how it is. And at times, you need a homer from third base. So he wasn't going to be the guy that you wanted to run out there at second base. They needed to get somebody with speed, or at least two full calves intact. And that individual, Blankenhorn, ends up going to second base, playing the first game, I think, of the season. Maybe just the second game of the season. First time he's played out there. So he was new to the game. And what happens, Jared? When you get into the ball game, the game will find you. Okay,
sure
what happens?
Will.
Ground ball to him after some base runners reach. He kicks it. Allows the run to score. Now we got bases loaded again. Shit is not any better. Ramon Laureano, ground ball to Arraez, who had originally been playing second base. Now moves over to third base late in the game. He got a little bit of a tricky hop. He had to give himself a little ground, which created a different angle on the throw, a longer throw, not an easy throw for him to get momentum on. He ends up sailing it, and the A's win. So to your point, they were absolutely handed the game. Because there were multiple outs to be had in that infield before we even got to that point. My point was Josh Donaldson having to be lifted created the movement that ultimately resulted in the game being handed over to the Oakland A's. Because if Josh Donaldson's calf is healthy, he's running at second base. He's not out of the game. Blankenhorn doesn't go to second. Arraez doesn't go to third. Blankenhorn never kicks that ball at second. Arraez is never in a spot to throw it in the shitter. And the A's probably never win that ball game. But
so what you're saying to me is that the A's winning streak is fraudulent?
Oh, no. What I'm telling you is during winning streaks, you have to see teams win in a multitude of ways. They've got to be able to beat the shit out of teams at times and take advantage of shitty pitching, which they've done. They've got to be able to win tightly contested ball games where both guys on the mound for each team go out there and pitch well and the bullpens do well. It's just about who takes advantage of that one mistake, and they've done that. They've won 1-0 ball games. They've won tightly contested ball. So you see it all, and in that comes a game where you probably should have won, and there's some fuck-ups that happen, and you end up on the right side of it. And that's how Wednesday went in Oakland for the Twins. and for the A's. You got to remember, one thing you have to remember about what the Twins had just gone through as well, they had days off. COVID hit them. And so early on in the season, when you're still trying to get your timing about you, and now you've got multiple days off in a row, like you're not facing live hitting, you're not facing live pitching, timing is all fucked up. And you're like, really, bro? 3 days? Oh, yes. Come on. Absolutely. 3 days for an entire squad, too? That's what you got to remember. It's not just two dudes or three dudes who were lacking the timing. The entire team was not doing shit.
So that is classy of you, and I respect the fact that you have integrity to acknowledge that the A's winning streak is fraudulent.
No, never. No, I remember it's not fraudulent. I told you that's what happens when you have the longest winning streak in baseball and the A's longest winning streak since the 20-game win streak. Yeah, it's not fraudulent. This is the real fucking deal.
Yeah, I respect you going out of your way to make sure that was known. Something that I saw that I did want to talk about that, I mean, makes me happy. I think it makes you happy, too. Major League Baseball, MLB TV registered the most watched 18-day period in its 20-season history, including the 7 most watched days ever. Fans have already watched over 1.34 billion minutes of live games. And the first thought that I had was, A, suck my dick to everyone that says baseball is dead. B, there's actually 3 thoughts. B, you know, if we're talking about streaming, what type of demographic do you think is streaming versus watching on cable?
Folks that are internet savvy. And there's probably an age demographic where that cuts off.
Mm-hmm. Seems like a younger audience is taking an interest in Major League Baseball. And my third thought, and I'm sure that you this came to your mind as well, Dallas. My third thought was, what would those numbers look like if it weren't for blackout restrictions?
They would be astronomical, Jerry.
Astronomical!
And
like,
here's
people
why.
That fucking... Like, baseball is a regional sport. People like to watch their team. And the main point that I take away from this is that it makes me happy to see that baseball fans are now taking an interest in baseball outside of their market, outside of their favorite team. Because 1.34 billion minutes of streamed baseball in that span, that's not all just, you know, outside of your market living baseball fans. Like, that's not all fucking West Coast living baseball fans watching their East Coast baseball team. That is baseball fans watching baseball that my favorite team might not be playing in this game. But you lift something, like, we're talking about this where it's like me being in Boston, like, the Red Sox are blacked out there. But there are people that live out in Iowa where it's like the Cubs are blacked out, the Reds are blacked. Like, they've got like 5 or 6 fucking teams that are blacked out depending on where you live out in that in certain areas. Like California, I'm sure if you're in Oakland, like, are the Dodgers blacked out and the Angels are blacked out, the A's are blacked out?
No, if you're in LA, like for me, I haven't watched a Dodger game on television, like, because I can turn the TV on and the Dodgers are on TV. I haven't watched a Dodger game since I've lived in LA. It's either been streaming, and that's not a fucking exaggeration. It's either been streaming or I haven't watched the Dodgers, or it's an MLB free game of the day, Sunday night, when it's on a national network. Other than that, no. They have made it so that you have to be in bed with this cable company in order to get your team. And it's the other thing you have to think about. The numbers are great. We have to be honest with ourselves and also acknowledge that, you know what? 2/3 of these stadiums are not allowing fans in. Or not 2/3 of the stadium, excuse me. The stadiums, like, 2/3 of the capacity is not allowed. So you're only pumping in 20, 30% of these fans. So that leaves a lot of fans at home to try to consume their baseball. How do they do that? Well, we've just talked about it. They're streaming, they're logging on, and they're connecting. So understanding that it's a marriage.
We're only talking about a couple thousand or 10, like a couple, like 10, 20,000. We're talking about billions of minutes being streamed. No,
I understand, but that comes from people not being able to be at the ballpark. And if you go to the ball game and you come home, Are you necessarily inclined to seek out another ball game to sit down and watch after leaving the park? Maybe not. But if you're at home on a Sunday and you've banged out a 10 a.m. sesh, you've got those early games on like I do on the West Coast. Like, I mean, and I get it. I'm different because my life consists of baseball. I wake up and I wait for first pitch. It happens, and I get excited that there's four more first pitches coming right after that. And then I'm even more excited because after those games, there's going to be more baseball at 7 o'clock that night. And I know all of that. But for the folks who aren't going to the game, they might be inclined to take in two innings of this game at 10 a.m. and then maybe two or three innings or an A, B, or two of this game later. So the collective amount of streaming, I think, is being impacted on a greater level than maybe we're giving credit for off the top. But I'm not taking anything away from the idea that fans are gravitating towards this game at a rate which, for whatever reason, we're just not paying attention to. We're trying to deny. Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely having an impact. Like, if you can't go to the game, you're going to seek it out in some form or fashion. But, if you can't go to the game, then you're probably in the market. And if you're in the market, then you can't stream the game. So that means that these fans that can't go to the game are watching out-of-market baseball.
That's exactly right. Can't watch your team, so you're going to watch somebody else's team. And I'll take the time now to pat you on the back, pat myself on the back, pat a lot of other outlets, a lot of other podcasts on the back who do their due diligence to try to bring the game to people in all areas, in different places. That's why we talk about the teams. That's why we talk about the players in different fashions. That's why we have so many different little one-offs about baseball, is because there's a lot to talk about and there's a lot of fans who enjoy what they get at home, but they'd also like to be opened up to other players, right? The fan in Iowa knows about Francisco Lindor, might be checking in on them, but do they get it every day? Do they get the updates they need to? Like, that's where folks like you and I and other folks across this landscape are doing what they do and why they do what they do. And it matters.
It does matter. And I like, so you're in broadcasting. I don't know how much you know about this from like a business standpoint, but like, do you think we're going to get to a place where blackouts are just lifted? Cause the logic behind it doesn't make a ton of sense. I mean, when you have cable companies that are like, yeah, I mean, we're not going to allow you to just pay for one channel and we don't get a cut of that. But Major League Baseball,
as long as everybody gets a cut of the pie, as long as everybody gets a cut of the pie. And that's what's going to have to happen, is all of the bakers are going to have to get into the same kitchen and they're going to have to agree on the same recipe. And once they do that, they're going to have to agree on how big the serving is that you're giving to everyone. And once we get there, then that's when you will have your blackouts lifted. But what that all means is the reason that blackouts are in place is so that people can make money. That's why the blackouts are in place. That's a business move. So as soon as we find a level playing ground where everybody's hand is being fed or everybody's mouth is being fed, then we're going to be in a spot. But until that day comes, no. The blackouts, no. And I've likened it to golf and the transition. Like, golf is not necessarily interesting. Like, they got the tee it forward programs. They're trying to get people to play the game more. But as far as an interest level is concerned, they don't care that golf is what it is, that there is no time limit, that you play with the sun. Like, there's just certain things that golf has said, fuck you. We're not interested in changing this for you. This is our game. This is how we do it. This is how it's going to be done. Like, look at the ridiculous rules and the way that the rules are disseminated and penalties and shit like that, like, very archaic, could get in the way of the growth of the game. Some would say, a lot of them go, that's our game. That's how we roll. And they're okay with it. Same thing for the business side of baseball. They're okay with it.
Also, I think we got to give credit to Major League Baseball for kind of becoming a little bit more lenient on the highlight sharing stuff. I mean, they're like, I personally am not going to post a highlight that I ripped from MLB TV on my Twitter account, because I mean, they'll come after someone like me, but they kind of let the smaller fish do it, which allows the bigger fish to share it. And to my knowledge, I haven't seen anyone be punished for this, knock on wood. And you mentioned golf. Golf is the fucking worst. I thought baseball was bad. Golf, I mean, if you are any Joe Schmo posting highlights of the Masters, the clip is down, and like they control like what pictures can be posted. Like if you're at the Masters and you're taking pictures and posting them, they'll come after you for that. So I thought baseball had it bad. Golf has it worse. But I've noticed that they become more lenient with the highlight sharing, which is great, and I think that does have an effect. I think when you do see, you know, like a league like the NBA, they don't give a fuck. Like, you can post whatever you want in the NBA. And they're like, yeah, dude, like, if you want to, like, check out teams that are out of market, like, go right ahead. Like, you're doing the free advertising for us. And with baseball, I think there are still some restrictions, but I feel like they've loosened it up a little bit, because when you look at the numbers, like, shit like this, it's like, yeah, we've loosened our grip on the ability to post highlights. And look what happened. People are seeking out of market baseball.
Well, you're starting to have that the question answered, and the question is, what good is it doing us as an entity to have this stranglehold and all these restrictions in place? Like, how are we benefiting? And if the answer was, well, we're making money by limiting the avenues that these highlights and things can come out of. We're making money from these avenues these highlights come out of, so that's why we don't want them to be coming from any other place. If they're going to see our highlights, they're going to see them from the people that are paying us to distribute those highlights. Well, you're still getting those paychecks. Those people are still tweeting out those highlights. Mm-hmm. Those companies that are paying you for them, they're still doing their due diligence. But now what you've got is almost like an army of minions, right? And that's who baseball fans are. That's who any sport fan base can be, is an army of minions who want to just destroy competition in their wake, tweeting out highlights of Ronald Acuna Jr., tweeting out highlights of Walker Buehler, tweet out highlights of Fernando Tatis Jr. If everybody that loves the game is doing that, you want to know what that means? The highlight that the company that's paying you to tweet out gets seen by a shit ton of people as well as them. And nobody at the end remembers where it came from. The fact is, they saw it. And if that money is finding its landing spot and everybody's okay, Jared, and those wheels are greased, then we're good to go. Because it's the squeaky wheel that gets the oil.
Yeah. You mentioned some names there. Tatis. You mentioned Acuna. I noticed that there was one name that you left off that list, Dallas, that is, I guess, I mean, the word is attraction. He is an attraction.
Attraction. I would call him an anomaly.
Ooh.
An absolute.
There's never been anyone like him before.
Oh, there has.
There's never been anyone like him before, ever.
There's been one man like him before.
There's been, and never. There's never been anyone like him in our great game, at least at this level. Never.
Well, not in this time period anyway, but Shohei Ohtani.
In the history, yep.
Along, cut from the same cloth as one George Herman Ruth.
Not even, like, what, legit, let me ask you this question.
Sure.
If you get mm-hmm. let's call it $50 million.
Okay.
If, like, say I'm polling 20 people in baseball experts, okay, and whoever gets the closest to the correct answer gets the $50 million. Uh-huh. Use a decimal point if you'd like.
Oh, God.
What was the average fastball velocity of Babe Ruth?
88? 89?
So like I said, there's never been anyone in the history of our game like Shohei Ohtani. Never.
No, time frame. It's all relevant.
No, it's
all
not.
Relevant. Nope. It's all relevant. So there were
there's
no
never
human
been anyone in our game
throwing the baseball like that back then. But that's why this guy is the freak
one
that he
million.
is, because you take that base example of a Babe Ruth and what he was doing, and you apply that to real time now, and this is what you get. It's like if you took Babe Ruth and you dipped him in 2021 water, he comes out, it's fucking Shohei Ohtani. Like, oh my God. Like, this is what, like, okay, you take a milkman from years past and you plug him in now, and that's what comes out? Yeah, that's what comes out. Shohei Ohtani, who took the bump yesterday, not a great outing in terms of how the stuff looked, I guess, but along that same line, a pretty decent outing considering how the stuff looked. How does that make sense? Well, let me tell you. 6 walks, not ideal. He's bad. Also dealing with a blister, so that's why a reduction in velocity and a lack of command is on display, because he's quite literally struggling to feel the baseball. That's why that happens. But he also punches out 7 over 4. 6 of them on the split finger. So the feel pitch, dialed up. Velocity, just a ho-hum 97, not the 101 that we saw first time out the gate. So, I guess, room to get better. But then he hits a fucking homer. He pitched on Tuesday, hits a homer on Wednesday. Like, what more do you want out of this guy? All I want is to know that he's going to be on the mound 25
times. You can't
times.
Seriously be asking that question.
I don't know that that's going to happen.
What more do you want out of this guy? I don't know, more than 4 innings with 6 walks? Like, I feel like that's an
honest
answer.
He's knocking the rust off, Carrabas.
Hey, I'm not one of those guys that's like,
and
I don't
think he's
for
real. And
he's pitching
through a blister right now.
I get it. I'm not one of the guys that's like, I don't think that he's for real. I know he's for real. I just want to see it.
Well, how long are we going to keep saying that?
I mean, yeah, I feel the same way. How long am I going to keep saying that?
Like what has happened up until this point? So you got a fucking blister. You want to know who you blame for that? Uncle Manfred and company for dicking around with the baseballs. What is he supposed to do? He can only throw the balls that are given him, Jared.
Do you know of anyone else that has a blister right now?
I do.
Who?
There are lots of guys who have blisters who are dealing with blisters. And for me to be putting names on blast like that, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's going against code. It's going against code. The Astros are handing the division to the Oakland A's already. They've lost 9 out of their last 10 games, which is crazy. They got off to such a hot start, then the wheels have fallen off. Have you seen anything from the Astros where, I mean, this is just a slump. This is not what they are.
Well, no, and they had a bunch of shit that they were dealing with too, right?
They had COVID.
They had Bregman, Alvarez, Maldonado, Altuve still out, I believe. They were down for a while, so obviously you don't have any regulars in the lineup with any consistency that can halt production. Starting pitching as well for the Astros
hasn't been there. Greinke, I mean, what the fuck?
Hasn't been good at all. Carrabas hasn't been good at all. There are 4 quality starts out of the 15 games for the Houston Astros by their starters. 3 of them have come from Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
They've only gone 6 innings 4 times.
Not great.
That's just not going to get it done. That's just not going to get it done. So when you've got your regulars that are down and out, again, dealing with COVID, dealing with the timing issues, trying to get back, and your rotation is not giving you a fighting chance to win, putting stress on an already depleted bullpen, like that's not because they've got some guys in that bullpen that are good arms that are down.
The Astros currently have a 4.62 ERA as a team.
You take out Greinke starts, I believe it's north of 5.
Yeah, I believe that. I mean, how the fuck is this possible? The A's have one of the worst ERAs in baseball.
What are you talking about?
The A's are 27th in baseball in ERA.
Again, a lot of that happened very early on in the season. And if you go and look at what the A's look like over the last 2 weeks or so, even the last week or so, Jared,
they've been playing good baseball.
It's the best starting rotation in baseball.
Yeah. It just goes to show you how bad they were when they started the season.
Well, not only that, but there were individuals that were exposed.
Sean Manaea, CG shut piece for Sean Manaea, who's got some moss going now.
Oh, he's got some moss. He's coming into his own.
Yeah.
He's coming into his own as far as
trying to figure out who he is.
Well, yes, because
he's trying to figure out who he is as a man now, not just as a pitcher. He's trying to figure out, like, who is Sean Manaea the person. Now he's out there with some big league moss.
He's got the hair flowing, and he's also pitching with a little fuck you in him.
Yeah.
And
as he should.
Absolutely as he should. But the starting rotation reminded themselves that they're fucking nasty. They can get this done. Okay. Jesus Luzardo came back out. Rocking the Rex.
Yeah, we don't need to go. This isn't a segue into more A's talk. I was just pointing out that they have one of the worst.
It's what's on the brain for baseball. You. I know it. You know it. You see the fucking ball Matt Olson hit?
I did. I'm a fucking Matt Olson guy. I mean, I tweet a lot of Matt Olson highlights.
You should. He's got a lot of highlights that need to be shared with the world.
Yeah.
Guy's dropping dick right now. He almost knocked down the fucking foul pole.
Grand slam. You knew that this was going to happen. Like when before the season started, there was a list of guys where it was like, this guy had a dog shit 2020 and is in a prime position to go off in 2021. Matt Olson was right near the top of that list for me.
So let's have this conversation very quickly. Matt Olson goes on a tear, has a great season.
Yep.
Hits 30-plus, 100-plus,
yep.
And Trey Mancini hits 20, Trey Mancini hits, he's got 80 with a 280 average. Who's your comeback player of the year?
I mean, 280, I mean, like, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I don't think Trey is doing excellent right now. I don't think that they'll just give Trey the award just for coming back. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, if Matt Olson... Like, right now, Trey Mancini is hitting 194 with a 675 OPS. Is that going to be the stat line at the end of the year? No, of course not. But, yeah, I think I don't know. I don't think that it's an automatic. I think he has to have a Trey Mancini season. I mean, like, even if it is, like 2018, Mancini hit 242 with a 715 OPS. Would I still give him the comeback player of the award with those numbers? Yeah, I would. Like so, his last full season was 291 with an 899. Like that's like a baller season.
Well, yeah, but that kind of speaks to what I was talking about last podcast about the story being attached to guys. You can have a tremendous year, and it can be a great bounce back year, a comeback year. But if there's a storyline attached to you getting back onto the ball field, whether it's battling a potentially terminal illness and telling cancer to kiss your ass, or it's, you know, coming back from a horrific injury a la maybe an Alex Smith or a Brett Honeywell, you know, fucking get clipped four times or whatever it is. My God, you get back to the big leagues. You're excited about that. It's a fucking, I mean, let's not count out Brent Honeywell Jr. for a comeback player of the year.
Yeah, no doubt. But I think you do have to have somewhat of a good season. Like, you can't just come back.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Speaking of comebacks, though, the Yankees finally got off the skid. They did.
Hold on. No.
They didn't?
No, I don't think they did.
What happened?
Ian Anderson showed up and shoved it up their ass.
Red Sox fan Ian Anderson. Grew up a Red Sox
Red fan. Sox fan. Former Red Sox fan Ian Anderson. What was great about this story, Carrabas, is you talk about the blackouts and MLB and all that jazz.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't going to hit the Anderson household. Nay, nay, nay.
No.
His 80-plus-year-old grandmother, dear Beverly, been locked in on the minor league baseball app when he was in the minor leagues. They got her locked on the MLB app now that he got to the big leagues, facing big league hitters. But the app wasn't going to be good enough.
No.
Not this time. No. Beverly in the house for the first time ever to watch Ian Anderson slice and dice the pinstripes.
Yeah.
It's fucking outstanding. Six and two thirds?
Six and two thirds. He was something. And again, my National League Rookie of the Year pick, Ian Anderson, was outstanding. And like, you have to remember, when you're up for Rookie of the Year, everyone's like, oh, well, and, you know, this is his first taste of the big leagues. Ian Anderson came up to the big leagues last year and shoved it up the Yankees' ass.
I was going to say, he also shoved in the postseason, not the Yankees.
He did.
because they were not there. The Yankees did not play in the postseason, so that couldn't have been possible.
They did. They just didn't. They didn't make it to the World Series.
Oh, that's right.
The
Braves, they didn't get deep.
Yeah, they didn't get very deep. But yeah, I mean, shit. I don't know if I didn't see this because I was trying to keep track of other games. I mean, I'm usually watching contenders, so I didn't really pay attention to the Yankee game last night. But I saw this clip this morning, the next day, of Gleyber Torres, just a dribbler out to the mound, and he's just jogging to first base. And with a little hustle, I mean, like, that's a close play. And also, you can't discount when guys are busting it out of the box on a play like that, that you force the pitcher to react quicker, and that can cause a bad throw. And now you've got yourself a base runner. And it wasn't a blowout. It was a 4-0 ball game, 4-1. Hey. They scored a run in the ninth inning. You can force guys to fuck up, and now you've got yourself a base runner, and who knows what happens from there. It's the butterfly effect. And I didn't see him say this, but someone tweeted me and said that this was the explanation. Aaron Boone said after the game that Gleyber Torres thought that it was foul, so that's why he didn't hustle down the line. That's not a fucking excuse. The ball was in front of the mound. Like, what are we talking about here?
No, man. One thing that you learn very early on is hustle never slumps. There's no excuse for that. Like, I don't care if you're 0 for your last whatever. Hustle never slumps. And you had the example set by Derek Jeter, God knows how long ago. It feels like there's a lack of that in that clubhouse. And it sucks because they've got a guy in that clubhouse who could probably snatch some folks up behind the neck and say, hey, let's get our shit together. And that might be Brett Gardner. But maybe because things aren't going well, he doesn't feel like he can say that for whatever reason, which would be very strange because at this point in time for him, it's not about how he's doing right now.
Yeah.
It's about trying to maintain a level of integrity and a level of culture in a clubhouse within an organization that demands a certain level, or so it would seem from the outside looking in. So when you're on the inside and you're looking around and you don't have anybody that's producing, but you also don't have anybody that's collectively brought the club together as a player and said, hey, we need to figure this shit out right now. And this is what has to stop, because it's tough for Gerrit Cole to tell Gleyber Torres to run it out. Why? Because it's Gerrit Cole who's pitching every fifth day. Now, he would be the easiest guy in that clubhouse as far as a non-position player to say something because of the status in the club, because of the money he's making, and because of who he is. He could say that. But you want that message coming from somebody who plays every day, who can go out on the diamond and set that tone every day. And it's
Jonathan Papelbon choked Bryce Harper for doing the same thing. He's not playing every day.
Well, Papelbon is no longer playing, and that was the beginning of us saying goodbye to Jonathan Papelbon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why coming from an arm, whether it's a reliever, starter, it can fall on deaf ears at times. There's only so much that starting pitcher or that bullpen arm can do, because you're looking towards somebody in the lineup to start the fire underneath the ass of everybody else in that lineup. That's why it needs to be coming from a position player. And if I'm being totally honest right now, watching the Yankees play baseball is like watching there's zero energy. Zero life.
But the one guy that you haven't mentioned, I mean, like Gerrit Cole, yes, status, no doubt, he's the top dog in terms of clout on that team. But Aaron Judge, like, you're supposed to be the guy. Like, you're
the
guy.
The injuries and the lack of...
I mean, he's healthy this year. He's out there. Like, he's the face of that team. Like, I don't care, like, what your history is of injuries. Like, you're not out there every day like in the past. But this year, you have been. This year, you've been there. And you are the guy. When people think of the Yankees, they think of Aaron Judge. If you talk to a bandwagon Yankee fan that's not watching the games, but they wear the Yankee hat, be like, hey, name one player. They're going to say Aaron Judge. They're not going to say Gerrit Cole. So you're the fucking guy. And after the game last night, like, I'm just thinking, like, not every, like, and it sucks, and I kind of feel for Judge in a way, because when you're playing for the Yankees and you're the face of that team, you're always going to get compared to Derek Jeter, because he was the face of that team for so long, and he did everything the right way the entire time. But they sit down Aaron Judge after that game, and they're like, hey, can you put into words, like, how frustrating this offense has been? And for 20 long seconds, he struggles to find the words to explain what's going on, and still doesn't say anything. Like, I'm not even saying, like, that he said something and it didn't mean anything. He physically did not say a word in the English dictionary. He was like, oh, and he rephrased the question. Oh, how frustrating is the offense right now? And, like, he just did that for 20 seconds. And it's like, how does Derek Jeter answer that question? Like, Derek Jeter hears the question, and he, and even if it is like a
Jeter
non-answer,
puts it on himself because he's at the top
Jeter's
of
like,
the lineup.
Well, it starts
and
with me.
Says,
starts
yes.
with me. Mm-hmm. You know, we just got to be better. Like, there's no excuses. We're the Yankees. Like, we go out there and we built this franchise on winning on a winning tradition. And things are going to turn around. Like, we're grinding out at bats, and it starts with me. Like, that's what he says. Like, that's what
Can
Jeter
say
says.
This?
And Aaron Judge is just
this?
Like,
I got a take. I got a take
shit,
here.
I don't know.
I got a take.
Yeah.
I got to take. I think the moment that the New York Yankees decided to, and I'm going to say this, decided to stoop down to the level of stealing another team's song or whatever it was, playing another team's song. Like, when you do that, you kind of put yourself.
What do you mean?
On the radar. Because what happened? Aaron Judge was playing. What song were they playing?
No, he didn't steal the Red Sox song. He was playing New York, New York past the Red Sox clubhouse after winning one game in the division series, and then they never won another game again.
Right. So he does that. He does that, and then the Red Sox adopt that song. They take that song, essentially, mm-hmm. right? So mm-hmm. the minute that he poked the bear, the minute that he did that, he... And, like, did Derek Jeter ever do anything like that?
No.
So the minute you do something like that, you sort of take yourself out of that Derek Jeter-esque conversation on how you've handled things and how you approach things, and you kind of eliminate the opportunity to just be coy about things. Like, you now, you got to answer these questions. You don't have the luxury of just trying to be super stone face about this and give the politically correct answer. Like, you were talking that shit at one point in time. You were talking that shit. And now it's not working out. Like, we got to have answers. But the minute that they started to play in the sandbox in the same fashion, that's where I was like, you know what? It feels like the Yankees are acknowledging that they've lost their shine. They're acknowledging that they've lost the power of the ghosts, because mm-hmm. you wouldn't do something like that if the cachet of the pinstripes had the weight that you believed it does.
How long? So say Brett Gardner never re-signs with the Yankees this past offseason. Like, it was late. Like, we were up against the clock bringing back Brett Gardner this time around. Say that doesn't happen, right? There's no one on that team that's won a championship with the Yankees. Aroldis Chapman got one with the Cubs. But there's no one on that team that has a World Series title with the Yankees. When is the last time that the Yankees had a roster where there was no one on the team that had a championship with the Yankees? It has been decades
since
that has happened.
Because now all you're doing is echoing a message, and you're regurgitating a message. You haven't lived that message for other guys in that room to latch on and believe in. Like, where's this, we got to do this to get here coming from? Like, you don't know what that's like. You haven't been there. Like, that could be the thought. So, I've been thinking about that for a while, is without that pedigree looming in that clubhouse where there's the experience from guys that have been there and done that, mm-hmm. the Yankees, their firepower and their cachet just is not what they want it to be. I'm mm-hmm. sorry. It's not.
Yeah. And people forget Aaron Boone didn't do it either. Aaron Boone got them there, but they didn't fucking win when they got there with Aaron Boone in 2003. That was, shout out to the D-Train. That was, they ran it to the Marlins and Josh Beckett and good night. That was it. So, yeah, like that shine that you're talking about, it's not there. And I think it's going to, like, if I were a Yankee fan, it would rub me the wrong way. Like when Judge did the boombox thing, like mm-hmm. it would rub me the wrong way that they act like the big bad Yankees who have this history of winning when right. it's like, none of you are responsible for any of those flags up there. None of you. You're well, just, you're like, it's almost like stolen valor. Like you're well, wearing like a fucking, yeah, you're wearing the fucking World War II veteran hat, but like you didn't fucking go there. You don't know what Normandy looks like.
Well, it's just like, you know, it's like the 12-year-old kid who's wearing the jacket with the 27 championship flags on the back. It's like, hold on, whose jacket is it? Clearly that's not yours.
Yeah. Okay. Give that like, back to your like, grandpa.
Like you're going to be, what are you? You're going to tell me stories about their greatness right now? Like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. But that's the whole thing, dude, is this is a group who, like, that's why I said what I said about the boombox thing. You pull that move and you do that. Now you've got to answer questions in a different way. Now, like, just going about your business and being better than other teams and the ghosts and all, like, now that's all gone by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking
how much,
that shit.
How much pressure is on a guy like Luke Voit? You lead the league in homers last year. You start off this season needing surgery. And while you're on the sidelines, the fucking team is falling apart. They are expecting you to come back and save the season. And Luke Voit is a very good player. He's a good hitter. This is a guy that can carry that Yankee offense at times. And last year, he did on one fucking foot. He was out there on one foot carrying that Yankee team during periods where they were not playing very good baseball. But Luke Voit was. So now he's going to come back, and the expectation from the fan base is going to be like, oh, shit, Luke Voit is back. Now we go. And it's like, well, what if you don't? Like, are you going to blame Luke Voit now? Like, that's not fair.
No, there's so many other things that need to go right for that team right now that,
they're like two possibly starting pitchers away. They're not even.
Well, yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. It's almost, I don't think that pressure is going to be on Luke when he gets back for that reason I just mentioned, because there are so many other things that need to be better, that need to go right before just inserting a Luke. Like, they're not one big hit away from winning ball games.
No.
That's not what it is. So adding a Luke Voit that could even, let's say it's great and he starts to add protection and provide protection to guys in front of him. They would have to start to come through. They're going mm-hmm. to have to do the job as well for Luke Voit's presence to start to be felt. And that's just saying that he's going to be productive. In the event that he's not productive right away when he shows up, is his presence giving the opportunities to the guys ahead of him? And are they taking advantage of it? Because as of right now, the answer would be no. And if we're looking forward, do we think that's going to happen? The answer doesn't leave you confident. Sorry.
So let me ask this question to you, Dallas, because I feel like you would probably have a good grip on this. If you're playing MLB The Show 21,
yep,
and you simulate this season with the rosters as is, are the Yankees still as bad?
Yes.
They are. You don't think that this is like they feel the pressure of, like, the fans are back, we're getting booed, and, like, now the media is on top of us because of our performance, and, like, there's some sort of bad seed in the clubhouse here, bad vibes. Like, I'm talking strictly human element. Like, if you sim this season for the Yankees based on the talent that they have, I think
Yes.
The robots still have a better record.
Yes. So I did misunderstand the question.
Okay.
Yes. All things being equal, we start the season with a clean bill of health, and are we factoring in Luke Voit, or are we not factoring in?
Yeah, we're factoring in the injury.
So then he's not playing. He's not healthy. Yeah, they have a better record. They absolutely have a better record. I do think that it can be a lot of. I do think there's a lot of inside energy that it's affecting the game.
Right.
Because when I see the lack of hustle and shit like that, that's where I say, all right, like there's an energy going on here. Collectively, we're operating at like a 6, and we need to be at a 10. We're playing big league baseball. Like, we have to be excited about every shot we have here. It just doesn't feel like they're playing inspired baseball right now. Motivated baseball. The computer doesn't know any better. So, yeah, you could simulate, and those little digital pinstripes are going to be looking a little better.
Mm. Where can you, like, if you were going to get the MLB The Show video game, do you have, where could you get?
I ordered my shit early. I pre-ordered.
Okay.
But I also ordered so I can pick up in store, because I want to have the tangible physical copy as well. You know, this thing's available on all platforms, right, Kravis? So I've given you the, I gave you the fucking PS4 7 years ago.
Now
that's out of
date.
Xbox
people.
You no longer need that. If you've got a PS5, which you should, you're locked in. But maybe you're an Xbox guy. They've got you dialed in as well. Because for the first time ever, this thing is cross-platform, multi-platform. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X, and the Xbox One. GameStop has got you covered in-store, online, free same-day delivery. Doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah, let me read that last part. Free same-day delivery.
Same day?
Free same day. Order it
so
now.
I can get it the same day for free, and I don't have to leave my house.
Don't got to leave your house. You can sit right there. Doesn't matter. You're looking to compete? You're looking to roll up the sleeves and get dirty, Carabas?
Mm.
MLB The Show's got you covered. Maybe you're just trying to pick up the game after being away for a few years, trying to get your feel back. No problem. The game has got it all built in for you to not only fall deeper in love with, but grow the love you already have for the game of baseball through the experience of video game. You know, you got cross-gen play, right? Like Xbox, PlayStation. Say you've got the box, I got the PS5. We can grind together.
Really?
Doesn't matter. Absolutely.
Huh.
Absolutely. They have heard the complaints from people. I'm tired of my friends not being able to play because they don't have the fucking PS5. What are we going to get in on Xbox? We got to get a baseball game. Oh, they heard. And they have followed through. I got to tell you, the Create a Stadium,
mm-hmm.
dude, if I'm being totally honest, first time I tried it, probably a little longer plane flight with Orville than I needed to take.
Yeah.
And I felt like I had to be an actual architect to understand how to build a fucking stadium. I was just absolutely clueless. But then Orville and Wilbur landed, and I gave it another go, and I am putting together a fucking gem, an absolute jewel, Carabas. I can't decide whether or not I want to pump up the stands and make it a fan-friendly experience, or is it going to be a very quaint and very small, intimate setting where only 20,000 fans are given the opportunity to watch my great organization compete. The creative, it's fucking got me locked in the stadium creator mode. Locked in. So if you haven't done already, please go to GameStop, MLB The Show 21, free online, free same day delivery. It doesn't matter what platform you're rocking. We've got you dialed in.
I think we have a guest here.
Do we?
I think we have a guest here who has joined us to talk about a potential. It's not even potential. This shit's going down. The Orioles and the A's are going toe-to-toe this weekend. The Orioles are a sacrificial lamb at this point. They're headed to slaughter at the hands of the green and gold. And I would love to kind of see, like, the mind of an Orioles fan. Like, what's it going to take to beat these Oakland A's, RDT?
Well, I mean, I don't know about sacrificial lamb. I think we're playing with house money here. Like, this is a team.
2 weeks into this and it's house money? Is that how we're treating this?
Because of every expectation coming in and every article and every podcast calling them out and saying, you know, top five, top three pick next year. I mean, I wish the series was in Oakland. I will say that, because you're talking to the best road team in the AL right now.
Hold on. You guys are not these baby birds. You guys are chumps, because if there were ever a year to get a top five pick, you missed the fucking year.
Of course.
It's this year.
No, it was last year with the Kumar. Yeah. And of course they
fake season. Go in there and get a real pick. That's a pro move by the Boston Red Sox. Anyways, continue.
No, yeah, of course. The Orioles win like a 3-game series against the the top four, and you're not going to get one of your generational pitchers. But I'm excited for the A's series coming in. I'm happy they won yesterday. I didn't want to face that team, you know, coming off a loss like that, and then they come in all ready to go.
So you'd rather face just tack another one on. Fuck it, we don't care. What we didn't want to face was a team that was on a 10-0 heater. Mm-hmm. But now that they're on 11-0 heater, I think we like our chances. We got them right where they – all we're doing is stopping by Baltimore for some fucking crab cakes, going to wipe our feet off on the Orioles, and then head to Tampa. That's the only reason we're stopping there. I thought it was a mistake on the schedule, a fucking layover for 3 days. Oh, no. Fucking the Orioles, they're still fielding a baseball team. I guess we're going to stop by there and play and then go to Tampa.
Yeah, you're going to see one of the best pitchers. Maybe, hopefully, John Means gets in. I know still a couple of TBDs out there, but
no.
I'm excited.
That's your fighting chance right there. That's the fighting chance, is to put John Means on the mound, who's been absolutely spinning beauties this season, against an Oakland A's team that hasn't lost in fucking 2 weeks. That's going to be your best shot.
Well, guess what? I mean, your luck's going to run out at some time, you know.
Oh, no, you're right. We can't win 100 and however many games we have left. We can't win all of those. We're trying our hardest, though. We're doing a lot better than everybody else in baseball right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm happy.
About
you know,
as good as the Red Sox.
I liked watching, you know, the it was a big series with the Twins. It was fun to watch that game yesterday. It was like a softball game, you know, runs all over, home runs. Nelson Cruz, like, you know, barely making it out of the box and walking around the bases, which was probably my favorite part of baseball.
Well, and just to give the A's fans who listen to us an idea, like, Nelly is banged up. Like, the guy can barely walk. Okay. Like, I'm watching him in BP and we're talking and shit, and he's like pointing at his foot, like, ah, fuck Poppy. And he's blasting fucking balls. He can barely walk. So cut the man some slack. He wasn't trying to show anybody up. But yeah, that was when you watch what the A's have done and you watch what the Orioles have not, what about those two things gives you confidence that you will see results that you're pleased with at the end of this series?
I think the Orioles hitters are too bad. They're too good to be as bad as they are right now. Like, we've seen Trey has been not himself. He's been, and obviously he had the whole thing in the offseason, and he's not going to use that as an excuse, but he's going to break out at some point. He's going to have a month where he hits 350, hits 13 home runs in a month or something like that, and his average is going to be above 300 in the blink of an eye. He got above 200, and I was all happy, and then he dipped down yesterday. They haven't had guys stay healthy. Santander went on the IL yesterday, spraining his ankle, coming back to the base. Just one of those fluke injuries. And again, that was a guy who he was the most valuable Oriole last year, the MVO, the coveted MVO award.
The MVO.
Yeah, not many people talk about the MVO on his mantle, but they got to get the guys healthy. They got to get, you know, better starts out of the guys not named John Means and Dark Knight Matt Harvey. And hopefully they can, they play up to the competition this weekend. We'll say that.
Has Baltimore taken to Harvey yet? Like, do you guys celebrate? Like, Harvey Day, is that a thing?
I was just gonna
ask, is Jimmy Seafood running any kind of a special for Harvey Day? Like what happens? Like, we're gonna we'll give you all the clams, but we'll take the shells off for you.
Well,
you
know? It's funny,
we'll do the shelling.
So when the Mariners were in town a couple weeks ago, last week, a bunch of Harvey's old teammates came up. I guess they all live in Georgia now. They're still buddies, and they were coming up to watch Seager and Harvey. And that was the day that the game got rained out. So I know they went to the game, and Jimmy Seafood is actually a North Carolina bar. Like, the owner, John, loves UNC. So the second Harvey signed, he was like, we're going to do something. So I think we're still working on either a shot, a drink, maybe, you know, a dinner special, something like that. But we'll have like a Harvey. I told him to make like the Batman sign out of crab cakes and send it to him. But I think he has to be more established to He's got to get another win, you know. One win since 2019.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What was the vibe? What was the vibe like in Birdland when Harvey gets that W? Like the energy, it had to be something special.
Well, I mean, it's the same start we've seen from him. He goes, you know, 4 1/3, and then you're like, oh, he's going to cruise into the seventh, and then you're like, you blink, and there's guys on first and second. And you're like, no outs. And you're like, well, here we go. He's not going to get out of the fifth. And that's kind of what happened in the last start. He was finally able to get out of the fifth and, you know, get that first win. But he's not walking people. And that's, I think, the big thing. Like, he's striking people out. He's getting guys on, though. He's giving up a lot of hits. But he's not walking guys, which is what I was concerned about. I'm happy he's not throwing the ball all over. Like, he's recording strikeouts. His velocity's there. It's 94, 95. He's touching 97. So,
and that's what's crazy. That's what's crazy is it is like it's still 93, 95. Like he can go and get it. It's just, do you expect this to be sustainable? And when I say this and I mean sustainable, I mean, is Matt Harvey going to complete the season?
It's tough. I mean, he may finish the season on another team if he keeps putting it together and not – if he's one of these bend but don't break pitchers and he can get you into the fifth, you know, maybe a team needs – maybe someone in pinstripes, you know, maybe they ship him up there for some prospects because they need pitching. No.
Yeah, I don't see any – I don't see anything going wrong with Matt Harvey in New York.
No. He's been fine there before. No, I hope so because, I mean, the whole story with him in the offseason going to that performance center in New Jersey and – mm-hmm. You know, as a 31-year-old saying, break me down and build me back up. Because, again, this was a guy who was on the Angels, floundered there, was on the Royals last year that people don't even, like, remember. Floundered there. He had to come into this season thinking this is his last chance. Like, if the Angels, the Royals, and the Orioles all say, nah, you're not good enough for us, I think you're running out of shot. And so I think he's kind of put it – he's not the 25-year-old Matt Harvey running around New York City – you know, on the back page of the Post.
No.
I think now he's
different dude.
Oh, of course. And I think he now realizes this is my last shot. And that's why I think the ego is gone. I think he's fully committed to the performance center and whatever they did. And it was weird because he said he wanted to come to the Orioles because of their analytics department and you know, all the guys breaking down the pitches and his motion and things like that. So it was a nice new thing for the Orioles fans because 2.5 years ago, they didn't have it. The analytics department was like a guy in a closet with a calculator and a spreadsheet. And now, you know, they have Sig Meidel and Mike Elias brought those guys over from Houston. And Matt Harvey is like, I want to come to Baltimore because of that. So I would love to see him stay. I know we kind of said when they signed him, same thing with Felix before they let him go. But the best thing I was hoping to get out of him was trade him at the deadline. You have a jersey of Matt Harvey. And in 2 years, you'll look back at that and go, oh, I remember that. That was cool. That was fun for 6 weeks. And then they moved on, you know, they traded him. So if he can stay.
Well, it sounds like you're realistic about how this thing is probably going to go. Cause it's going to go one or two ways. He's going to be healthy and he won't be an Oriole, or he's hopefully going to be healthy, but unfortunately maybe he doesn't perform and he will remain an Oriole.
You know where I think
really
he's going to go?
Only two ways that this can shake out.
I think we did a, what was it, two weeks ago, I had Dallas try and guess every organization that Matt Harvey has been with since he left the Mets. Mm-hmm. I think if he stays healthy, there's a team that he used to pitch for mm-hmm. that might come call in Dallas.
Well, not the Reds.
Nope.
What, you think the Mets?
Nope.
Not the Mets. What, you think the Angels?
Nope, they haven't lost a series yet.
I thought it was the Angels.
Are they in the Midwest?
You're asking me geographic questions.
Is there a slide at their ballpark?
They're centrally located.
Is it the Crew?
No, it's the fucking Royals.
The Royals with cheat? Come on, the Royals?
Yeah, the Royals are playing good baseball. They haven't lost a series. I think they're the only team that hasn't lost a series.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was thinking Angels. If
I don't
anyone.
Know.
I mean, the Angels, like, sure. I could see the Angels as well, but
I just don't take. I don't look at Dayton Moore as the
he's already done
second
it.
Chance type of guy.
With guys that different. I mean, if you liked him once, you'll like him again. That's why we well, all after
no, that's my
after
point,
breakups, we all end
like
up drunk
once.
At the bar and it's like, yeah, my ex-girlfriend, yeah, sure. Like, I think with the Royals, it's like, you know, it's I think it would be a cheap pickup too. I mean, the Royals are definitely not going to be a team that are going to be in on a big name piece to add at the deadline, but you come up and you see a guy like Matt Harvey and he's throwing half decent and it's like, well, he's been here before. Why not try and facilitate a little something?
Yeah, I think that's a matter. I mean, bad ball game. Is Dayton Moore going to be okay with him firing one off? Like, that's, you know, there's things we got to discuss here.
That's true. Just, yeah, I mean, pornography in and of itself is bad.
I seriously don't. I feel like the Angels would be the better place for him to go. That was
I would
my
agree.
Thought.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I could see the fit. I mean, Quintana's not been super awesome.
Yeah. So, well, RDT, do we need to? I mean, maybe you and I need to come up with some sort of wager here, something that you can nothing you can eat anymore, you fucking asshole.
That's delicious.
But we're going to have to come up with a wager here so that that one of us is paying the piper here. It's probably not going to be me. It will absolutely be you because we might even have to put like a sweep buffer in there, like if indeed the A's do sweep the Reds or the Birds, because that'll be three in a row. That'll be three series swept in a row for the Oakland A's. Yeah, we'll have to think about something.
Okay.
But as of right now, I've got this series going. Worst case scenario, 2 out of 3 for the Oakland A's. On to Tampa. I'm already thinking about Tampa. I'm already thinking about that road.
I mean, put it this way, Dallas. The Red Sox are the best team in the league, and they got swept by this Orioles team. So you have to consider that.
People forget.
People do forget. Oh. The Orioles swept the best team in the American League.
At one point, they were.
At one point, until they got done with them, right?
No, they held on for a couple more days.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. Not too worried.
At least, you know what? We're going to get good uniform matchups. I know you and I have talked about that, I think. You're going to have some good kits on the field. I think it's going to be shitty weather this weekend in Baltimore. But
yeah, not to rain on anybody's parade, but there is a 100% chance of rain tomorrow in Baltimore.
I know Saturday's not looking good either. I was looking at going to that and then saw the forecast and declined that. So will not be.
Yeah. So I'm in Oakland enjoying an off day, and I would then be going to San Francisco tomorrow to call the game from a studio. So watching the game on a 32-inch monitor and calling the baseball game like I'm live right there in Camden Yards. But I don't think that's going to happen because it's going to be raining cats and dogs.
Yeah, let's. I mean, it'll two off days. Well, that'll be two off days, almost three full off days for the Orioles. So they'll be fully rested for that short two game series if they want to do it Saturday and Sunday. So again, it's dangerous for you guys.
And I'll throw this out there. I don't know if you want to go asking the baseball gods for doubleheaders because as of right now, the Oakland A's are undefeated in doubleheader play this early season. Well, just putting that out
these
there.
These doubleheaders are so wonky. They're terrible. I don't like them. I'm not a fan of the guy on second.
I'm not a fan of the guy on second thing either. That's extra innings. But as far as the seventh inning, hey, we got to get these ball games in. We got to get them in. Players appreciate the shortened 7-7. Let's go. Let's get in. It also gives pitchers the opportunity to do exactly what Sean Manaea did. Seven innings, pedal to the metal, CG shut piece. Let's roll.
That's true.
Save the bullpen. Yep, that's how it goes. Well, RDT, appreciate you joining us, my man. I will be seeing you maybe tomorrow.
I'll send you some texts. Depends on how the game goes, but you may be hearing from me. At least,
yeah, no, please tune in.
I think you'll hear at least once from me this weekend.
Yeah, and if you, I mean, I know you're faithful to the Orioles broadcast, as you should be. Should you find an inning or two to come on over to the A's broadcast, you might hear some things you like. Maybe you might hear some things you don't like.
All right. I could take it. I got thick skin, so. I'll tune in, though. I'll give you guys the ratings bump. I'll do that for you, Dallas.
They need it.
I like you as a person.
We appreciate it. We've actually, the Oakland A's, I don't know if you guys saw this last year, but experienced north of 500% growth on all platforms. Holler, boy. RDT, appreciate you. Thanks for coming out, my guy.
Thank you, guys.
Let's go, O's.
There we go. There we go.
Fuck that.
Love that. this one sucks. Denelson Lamet actually, well, before we get into that, spring is officially here. Warmer weather is on its way. Whether you're hitting the course or enjoying some drinks in the sun, the Barstool Sports Store is their newest spring arrivals. We'll have you looking good all season long. Head to store.barstoolsports.com to shop now. If they were on team starting nine here, that read would be like, oh, check out the fucking Legends series that we dropped 10 new awesome baseball t-shirts of all your favorite legends that'll be coming out every single month. May 1st, we're doing a drop of five. The opening day drop was 10 shirts. It was like Ricky Henderson, Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, Mariano Rivera, fucking Bo Jackson, Nolan Ryan. Who am I missing?
We got Big Hurt in there, Frank Thomas.
He was not in that drop. He's on the list, but he was not.
Oh,
on
the drop. Yeah, I don't know about the drop. I forget about the list that we made.
I think it was like I got eight. But go on our store.barstoolsports.com. Check out the Legends series. We got to come up with the five that are going to drop on May 1st. But we've heard all your fucking complaints about people. Well, what about my team? Every team will be represented in this series. We can't drop 30 fucking shirts at the same time.
Also, so, just got to shout out the Pirates fans.
Oh.
All four of the Pirates fans that listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. all four of you bought the Raisin shirt. Appreciate your support.
I am gonna buy that shirt. I swear, after we're done with this.
You better do it quick.
after we're done recording this show, I'm buying the fucking Raise It shirt.
Like I hope you people know when we come up with these ideas to make t-shirts, like there's a certain level of consumption that has to be hit for the t-shirt to continue to live on.
Right.
And at times that consumption is not hit right away, and at times it's never hit. So I would just advise you to get on that store site quickly if the Raise It t-shirt is something you were looking to add to your collection, because it's going to be a thing of the past. It's going to be a collector's item very quickly.
There's just going to be like six Raise It shirts out in the wild. Yes. I mean, I'm going to have one.
Well, I told our merch person, I said, yeah, good. That's good to hear. That's probably three more than I thought we're going to sell. And just go ahead and put one aside to send to me. And that's all we need. So, yeah, if you that's going to be one of those things where if you have a Raise It shirt in the wild, like that's going to be like an NFT.
Yeah.
Like there's only going to be so many of those.
Yeah. Like it's. I would imagine that maybe because people now realize that maybe like three or four got sold, but once people see that it's a rare collector's item, they're going to want it, and they're going to regret taking it off the store because of what, for whatever reasons. That shirt is going to be a classic, and I think what the merch team might be not factoring in is that you will own it and I will own it, which means that we will wear it. And once people see us wearing it, they're going to want it, but they can't have it.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough scene.
How are you going to feel when there's knockoff Dallas Raise It shirts just going out there on fucking Teespring?
I will not stand for that shit. If I catch you in a C&D. Knockoff Raise It DB Pirate shirt, we're gonna have fucking problems. I'm throwing you off of the rotunda out there in left field.
Yeah,
I can make that shit happen.
Yeah, I mean, you better lawyer the fuck up. If we if we catch you in a bootleg Raise It shirt, you better fucking lawyer the fuck up.
You're walking the fucking plank, matey. Book that.
Yep.
I saw this injury. I just gotta say it.
What?
Do we understand what happened as far as pitch count concerned? And do we understand what was thrown for Jenelson Lamet?
No,
He leaves his
first start.
What night was that? After forearm tightness.
Was that Tuesday? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Tuesday. Yes, and Dr. Claw and I are lock and step here because this is the first thing that I go to look at. What happened? He threw 29 pitches. Okay. He came out. Why? Forearm didn't feel good. Well, he only threw 29 pitches. Yeah, well, 15 of those were fastballs. You want to know what the other 14 were? They were sliders. Slidrow Wilson. So, your first start back from the forearm tightness, and you're out there spinning half the offerings as breaking balls, sliders, a lot of pressure. Now, you'd like to think that the rebound and the work done in the weeks leading up to this point saw him put stress on that ligament by throwing sliders, resting, rebounding, recovering, playing catch the next day, doing the same thing. You'd like to think that that circuit and that buildup and that throwing program took hold and meant what it was supposed to mean. Because the idea of not getting surgery is to rest the affected area, build up the areas around it, so that when you're asking these muscles and these ligaments to do things, maybe the taxation and the load isn't what it would be if you weren't as strong in the supporting areas. You get to game speed, though, Jared, and shit changes, especially mm-hmm. when you get to big league game speed, which is what happened. You come back. This isn't a backfield soiree. This isn't an inning that can be rolled in a minor league spring training game. It's the fucking big leagues. It's the big leagues. And so now, after missing time with shoulder issues, now you've got the elbow. This is not good. This is not good, especially after just this short a burst. So we'll see how this thing works out. I'm not too excited about it.
Would you say your over under for games started for Dinelson Lamet this year has changed after this news?
Yes, I would say that.
What do you think we're looking at? What's the new line for that?
I mean, Jared, I'm not trying to be grim here at all, man. But I don't know that we see this guy again before the All-Star break.
So are we talking surgery here?
That's what I do. You know how I roll. I don't like to put that shit out. I don't even like to say the words. You know that? I understand that we have to address shit like that. So yeah, that's why this scared me, is because coming off of the injury he was dealing with the elbow, he gets back out there in the first fucking time he's back out there, man, he's dealing with this shit. It doesn't leave me confident that the buildup process that I just laid out and spoke about did anything for him in terms of preventing the major issue that we don't want to even speak of.
Right. So let's just say
he's already gotten clipped. He's been clipped once.
Right.
He's already had TJ.
So worst case scenario, let's just say he does need surgery. Do you think it's going to be a bad look for the Padres that they didn't do this at the end of last year?
No, and here's why. Because I think after having a guy that's already gone through this process once, you want to give them every opportunity to rest and rebound and not have to go through that same process again. Because regardless of what you or how you want to interpret a success rate of getting back and pitching, if you know that your career looks very different after one TJ, you know your career looks very different after two TJs, we're probably pumping the brakes on that second one. Let's see what we can do before we have to get to that point. So for the Padres, knowing that they were confident in what they had, knowing that they've got a guy that they can trust or believe in the future, they don't want to set him or themselves back any more than they have to with another surgery if that doesn't need to be done. So see how it goes. As of right now, unfortunately, hindsight starts to tell you or starts to allow that question to creep into your head. Did they wait too long? Was this mishandled? And a lot of that has to do with how the player feels about it as well, Jared. Because if you're not willing to just accept the fact that you're hurt, if you're not willing to concede to the need of surgery, you have a say in that as a player. So however much that was him going, look, I've been down that road. It doesn't feel like it did. I don't think we need to go that route now. That could matter. Because one thing to remember, he underwent PRP, platelet-rich plasma therapy.
Which I have fucking also, kills.
Yeah, I've also undergone PRP a couple times. Super fun. And it can help. But that was the effort made instead of going with Tommy John after the 2020 layoff, right? Like, hey, let's get the PRP. Let's get this shit done. Don't need to get you clipped again. Well, in my mind, if you've evaluated Tommy John beforehand, decided to take an alternate route with the PRP, the rest, the recovery, the buildup, you've done all of that, and now you come back and 29 pitches later, we're in the same spot we were at the end of the year last year.
Yeah.
There's nothing positive about that. So that's why you ask me over under. I'm asking you whether or not it's again, not over under. Do right. we see him again?
Mm-hmm. Which sucks, and but that terrible is the news. Reality of it. Yeah.
Yeah, terrible news, especially after the Padres and their lefty Morejon done, clipped Tommy John. So just not a good vibe, man. Not a good vibe right now for the Friars.
No.
Fucking sucks.
Especially when you traded for Mike Clevenger and he ended up needing the same thing. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that rotation. Juan Soto is on the injured list, and I don't know what's going on here because he was put on the injured list with a strained left shoulder, and then you've got Davey Martinez saying that it's the tricep, a tight tricep, and that they're also just, it seems precautionary, like, hey, we don't want to risk anything with this guy, so we'll see if, you know, a couple weeks down helps him out. But, I mean, if you're putting him on there with the shoulder, but it's really a tricep, then, like, what are we talking about here?
Well, it could be, it's like where the head of the tricep, where the head of the tricep connects up in the area of the shoulder. Like, that's where they were probably feeling it initially, so it could feel like the deltoid, like your rear delt.
Mm.
But then you get into that, you go take some pictures, the MRI, and that's going to give you a real detailed, layered shot of the muscle belly, give you a really good idea of what's not feeling good, and that's what they saw, strain in the tricep. You got to think about him being a left-handed hitter, and his left arm, that's his top hand, but at extension, boom, right? That tricep fully flexed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about him being an outfielder, and he's got to throw the baseball as well. Tricep, big part of projecting baseball. Baseball. Mm. So, yeah, rest this dude. For me, not a guy that I want trying to play through some shit like this. I just don't need any ticky-tack nagging bullshit.
No.
What's tough is the Washington Nationals not having a great go of it right now, and for them to be losing Juan Soto as well, kind of sucks.
Just not what you need. Just a couple little last ones here. The Brewers, my Milwaukee Brewers, signed D. Strange Gordon. Have to show some love. I know we did it on Morning Wood, but the Brew Crew having Corbin Burns, 40 strikeouts, fucking zero walks, first time in baseball history we've ever seen anything like that. I mean, I know that I got called a homer for picking the Brewers to win the NL Central this year, but I don't think anyone's looking at me right now as that being a homer pick. I think it's just the Brewers pitching is that fucking good, and they've also just got that, they've got that vibe, they've got that we don't give a shit vibe where they just play good baseball. They play good baseball, they get results, and they have dominating starting pitching. They're out to an 11-7 start. They've got a game and a half lead on the Reds. The Cubs are what they are.
What the fuck are the Cardinals doing?
I agree. I was just going to say that. What are the Cardinals doing?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Did you pick them to win the division?
I did.
Do you want to? I'm going to let you walk it back. It is April 22nd. It is April 22nd. I will let you take back your Cardinals pick only if you pick the Brewers. I'm not going to let you pick the Reds. I'm not going to let you pick the Cubs. I will let you take back your Cardinals pick to win the NL Central if you pick the Brewers. Will you join me on April 20th? Oh, fuck you. No, Dallas.
Fuck that. I'm not. I can't do that. I can't jump off the back of the bird.
It's April 22nd. Like, there's a long way to go.
Right. There's a long way to go. And I can't wash my hands of the Cardinals that quickly. I can't do that.
Well, you know that you're going to end up being wrong.
No. No, I don't know that. There's no reason.
I know that. Like, you think that, I mean, right now the Cardinals have what, a negative two run differential? Where are they at? Yeah, negative two. All right. So they're in fourth place at 8-10. Still plenty of time to turn this shit around. It's a good team. They're not going to have a losing season. I know that. The Cardinals are going to have a winning ball club. But are they better than the Brewers?
That's tough to say right now.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
It's tough to say right now.
I'm giving you an out. I'm letting you pick this fucking Brewers team, be on the right side of history, and you're just flat out spitting in my face. That's what you're choosing to do today?
April's not over. April is not over. Maybe I see some things in the next week or so that might have me off of the car. I don't think that's going to be the case. I don't think there's anything that the Cardinals could do that would just tell me, like, Dallas, you need to jump ship. Just cut ties with the birds right now. Move on. Make your life easier. You don't have to deal with fucking Jared chirping you for the next 5 months. Just make the move to the Brewers. I can't do that right now. I can't.
Right now, this is the only chance you're getting. I'm not letting you fucking come on the Brewers bandwagon if you don't pick them right now today, April 22nd.
Well, then I'm not fucking doing it at all. All
right, good. We don't want you.
No, because what I want to do is, because I'm just going to talk about, I'm going to wait for Paul Goldschmidt to catch fire.
Mm-hmm.
He'll catch Arenado in the homer race.
No, he won't.
I'll be able to talk that shit. The birds will start playing good baseball.
You're going to lose the home run race. You're going to lose the division race. This could be a bad year for you in the NL Central. I don't know what you think you're doing, but it's ill-advised. And quite frankly, irresponsible.
I'm not going to be that fair weather fan. I'm not going to do it. The podcast.
You're a Cardinals fan now? I thought you were a Pirates fan. I thought you were just picking Cardinals because you like them better as a baseball team. I thought you were a Pirates fan. Like, you're not a Cardinals fan. So, like, you.
No, I'm a. I'm a Pirates fan, but I'm a fan of the Cardinals in this conversation here that we're having here.
Okay, but
so
I mean,
that's
like,
what
I
wouldn't be.
Do you get tweets from Cardinals fans like they claim you? I don't think you do.
Oh,
Cardinals fans don't claim you. So you're not. All you're doing is just ruffling the feathers of one of the most passionate fan bases in not only baseball but professional sports, the fucking Brew Crew. Like, you had a chance to be a made man, and now, like, I don't even want you.
Maybe that's good for baseball. I mean, the Brewers had to go out and sign players from the Cardinals to get them where they are now. That's kind of how I look.
Fuck, we don't give a fuck. Like, the Brew Crew is gonna bang no matter what. You see the fridge out there, fucking two bombs the other night.
You just wait till this Cardinals team starts to click.
Yeah.
They do a couple things together at the right time,
mm-hmm.
like get good starting pitching and the lineup breaks out.
Mm-hmm.
Look the fuck out.
Yeah, no,
like,
no
you
doubt.
Need to tell me right now that Jack, like, are you just off the Jack Flaherty train?
No,
like,
he's,
he can't help
he's
turn
got,
this thing
he's
around.
Got like a low three right now.
I mean, Waino. Like, look, we don't know what we're going to get in the entirety out of Adam Wainwright. I'll take a 4.5 out of him. I'll take a 4.8 out of him.
Yeah, imagine having a 4.5 at the top of the Brew Crew rotation. Corbin Burns has a fucking 0.37. He's given up one run this year.
And he only gets a start every 5 days.
Okay, Brandon Woodruff.
That's only 2 starts every 5 days.
Peralta is probably one of the most underrated pitchers in baseball. His shit is
bullshit.
Peralta? Oh my God, have you seen him pitch? He's one of the like the numbers may not reflect it all the time, but he has some of the nastiest stuff I've ever seen.
You got to watch more baseball.
Oh, buddy. We don't want you. We don't want you in Milwaukee.
You got to watch more baseball.
Do not even try to come to Milwaukee.
I'm coming to fucking Milwaukee. No. And I might just get a fucking Cardinal tattoo.
Yeah. I would fucking, we would boo you in Milwaukee if you came here.
Can we talk about Maldonado briefly?
I guess. I don't really care.
Yeah, they signed him for another year.
Yeah, who cares?
Okay.
Nope. You said briefly. I mean, like,
we nailed it.
Nailed it.
Nailed it.
Crushed it.
You got final thoughts?
Final thoughts. Good luck this weekend against RDT. The Orioles, they can get chippy. Is Cedric Mullins hurt right now? No, did I make that up?
No, I think he's hurt.
He is?
I believe he's hurt.
Oh, so then you might win a game then. I mean, that dude just fucking goes 5 for 5 every single night. It's actually wild.
We're gonna steamroll the Orioles, mm-hmm. pluck those feathers.
When do we play each other?
Not until May, I believe.
Are you gonna come to Boston? Do you have the balls?
That would all depend on my work schedule. If I'm calling those games or not. If I'm not calling those games.
Are you fully vaccinated?
I am fully vaccinated, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Fully vaccinated. I'm looking up the schedule here. I'm trying to see when the A's swing into Beantown for a little tea party. Yeah. May 11th, 12th, and 13th. So, just a couple days after May 9th.
May 9th. All right. Yeah, so right around the anniversary of that time that you threw a complete game shutout against the Tampa Bay Rays with 4 strikeouts.
Just had a pretty cool fan experience, actually. I was climbing down the ladder to the place that I set behind home plate, my own fucking studio they've built in diamond level. Mm-hmm. Fucking ridiculous. And this gentleman says, "Hey, I've been tracking you down for almost 10 years. Finally got you. And look what I've got." And he had the bat that Gabe Kapler used in the last at bat of that game.
Mm.
So I took a little video of that game. I signed the bat for the gentleman and took a little video because it's a, you know, I broke his bat. Just telling the old giant skipper, "You got to get the head out, Cap. You have got to get the head out. If not, you end up in the history books."
Mm-hmm.
But that was pretty cool. Dude's had.
How'd he get the bat?
10. I have no idea. I have no idea. Like, I think he just asked for the bat and Kapler gave it to him. It was like, "Yeah, here." Like walking out.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, here you go. Done.
A's fan?
Huge A's fan.
Interesting. I'm still waiting for my poster in the mail.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's good. gonna be a little while now because I'm not at home.
Right.
I can get Meg to sign it for you if you want.
I don't want the front signed. I want the back signed that says "Perrect Game."
Perrect.
Yeah.
I've had people have me sign over that word in silver Sharpie.
Perrect Game.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well,
the 19th in baseball history.
That's it. 1-9.
Oh, look at that. Well,
1-9.
That'll do it.
Who do the Red Sox play?
Seattle.
Seattle. Ooh. Kyle Lewis has been back.
He is back.
Oh, all right. Let's go. Let's go, Seaman.
See, like, the fact that you're rooting against the Red Sox means that you're afraid of them, which means that we're back.
Oh, no. Why? No. It's just a little. I would love for you guys to win, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Why would I not?
Yeah.
Like, imagine, you take 3 from Seattle.
What do you think
you
would happen if the A's and the Red Sox met in the ALCS?
We would have to sit on opposite sides of the field.
I think, like, that.
Because the people that would end up rolling with me would hear one foul word that crossed the line and someone's getting shot.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to keep all of you guys away over there to keep you alive and to keep us from going to jail.
Yeah. I don't think I'd go to Oakland. Or maybe I would if we were going to clinch, but.
Yeah. And even in there, you might want to find a fortified suite to hang out in. Yeah. You got a small glimpse of the energy that the A's fans can pack.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no animosity there whatsoever. No that was on a no-hit night. They're like everything going right for the A's. Mm-hmm. And they were that riled up. Like, yeah, not a place you want to be with 40,000 pissed off A's fans. Nah. Yeah. Like, especially if you can get all 40,000 of them to show up at the same time.
Yeah, the only difference is that this year I'd show up looking like fucking Brock Lesnar. See what happens then.
Is Brock Lesnar fucking bulletproof?
That's true. Good point.
I wouldn't let him peel your cap, buddy. Don't worry. I would stand in front.
I think it'd be funny if I actually like showed up like in a vest, just talking my shit. Like a fucking helmet on.
I was gonna say, you know, like riot gear, vest, helmet on, clear shield.
Yeah, just go with the vest and like a World War II helmet. Just show up looking like fucking 50 Cent, half 50 Cent, half Tom Hanks.
We'll get a skateboard, and put one of those fucking Pope bulletproof squares on it, and let you kind of just fucking kick around.
Yeah, go for it. I mean, yeah, that would be
alive.
We in the starting nine era, we need. It happened in 2003. I mean, was that the last time the Red Sox and A's played each other in the postseason? 2003?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Terrence Long.
T. Long.
Sucking it. Oh. Sucking on that fucking change piece. See you later. Thanks for coming out.
Well, I think things might go a little differently this time around.
Yeah, sure. Well, we got to get there first, so we'll see what happens.